Thank you so much for tuning in to Premeditated, a podcast production of the Hammer Law Firm. Each week, we provide listeners with insights into the inner workings of the criminal justice system. Today, we're talking about police investigations. Hey, Mark, what's the first thing that happens during a police investigation?
Hi, Matt. I was looking forward to working on this topic with you because this is kind of where it all begins. And I think that many times clients misunderstand about how things get started and who's responsible for what. So to answer that question, I'll say that everything begins with law enforcement. The investigation always starts with law enforcement. And again, we're talking about strictly criminal investigations here. How the cop actually begins depends upon the circumstances. So a police officer might get a call from someone. It's a 911 call or some other type of call indicating that they should report to a crime scene. Maybe the officer just stumbles across a crime scene. It's a traffic stop or something along those lines. In any case, that's where the investigation begins. If it's something basic, like maybe a drug crime or a theft or something that's fairly simple, the patrol officer that originally handled this matter will take the case all the way through. They'll complete the entire investigation. It may only take a few days. If it's something more complicated, such as perhaps a first-degree robbery, a homicide, some type of criminal sexual conduct, something that requires a little bit more experience and training, the patrol officer will hand over their preliminary investigation over to a detective or some other trained investigator. In any case, these officers' jobs are to gather evidence. That, like I said, could take a couple days or it might take a couple years or more, depending upon the complexity of the case. I have had situations with white-collar federal cases, for example, where an investigation may have taken 4 or 5 years. But the important thing to remember here is that all investigations begin with law enforcement officers. When, then, do the client's interviews occur in this investigative process? When would the client expect to be interviewed by police?
So if the client is just like a witness on the scene, then they would be interviewed at the scene. If, however, the client is a suspect, the last thing that a police officer does in the course of their investigation is interview suspects. This is because the cops like to have all of their information in line before they do this interview so they know what questions to ask and what information they're trying to get. Sometimes the suspect, our client, might be in custody. Sometimes the cop will just go to their house and try to interview them at their house. But the thing to remember is that if a cop calls you on the phone and asks you to be interviewed, and you think that you might be a suspect in that case, you should know that this is the last thing that the police officer is going to do before they take that information to a prosecutor. We get this question all the time, and I think it'd be good for Mark to answer. But is it actually the police that charge you, Mark?
So it's not. In almost all cases, the police are actually, as we said, the investigators. There are a few exceptions, municipal cases, traffic offenses, that type of thing, these ordinance violations. You may receive a citation from a police officer. That is the charging document. In every other case, and this is really all you need to remember, is the cops don't charge you. What the police do is when they're done with their investigation, they're going to take a packet over to a prosecuting attorney. That prosecuting attorney may be a municipal prosecutor. They may be a circuit attorney, a county attorney, an assistant attorney general, a United States attorney. It really doesn't matter. In either case, in any case, the prosecutor is the one who takes that investigative packet from the police officer and makes a charging decision. So if you walk into a prosecutor's office and you're watching this take place, the officer turns in the investigative packet. It's given to a prosecuting attorney who puts it on their desk. And sitting next to that packet is a book on the criminal statutes. It talks about all the various crimes here in the state of Missouri. And in the case of a federal prosecutor in the United States. So you've got the investigative packet on one side, you've got the criminal statutes on the other side, and the prosecutor is reading through the evidence and trying to make a decision about whether or not a crime has been committed. That's the first step. Has some type of crime been committed? And secondly, and this is just as important, has the investigator provided enough evidence? Have they given the prosecutor enough evidence to convict the client? So if, for example, in reading through the packet, the prosecutor has a gut feeling that a robbery has been committed, but there just simply is not enough evidence to convict the person of that crime, they won't charge it. But in many instances, the prosecuting attorney believes that enough evidence has been provided by the investigator, the cop, and so they will charge the case. Matt, what does that step look like?
So the prosecutor at that point prepares a complaint or indictment that lists the charges against a person. If it's a felony, the judge needs to sign off on the charge and will issue a warrant for your arrest. If it's a lower level charge, a summons will be sent to your last known address. If you ignore that summons or don't go into court a few times, then at that point, a warrant will be issued. So, Mark, if our client's charged with a crime, what are their options?
So their options are to call a lawyer, and we certainly would encourage folks to reach out and give us a call if they learn that they have been charged with an offense. Call us. Call us if you get charged with a crime. Once you learn that you've been charged, please give us a call. If you've been taken into custody, give us a call at your first opportunity from jail, or have one of your loved ones give us a call. You need a lawyer. You've been charged with a serious crime, and you need somebody to represent your interests. Again, don't talk to anybody when you're in jail. Don't talk to any detectives that show up. Call us up. We are lawyers, and we're here to help you. If you give us a call, particularly if you're out of custody, one thing that we can do is we can self-surrender you. So the point of self-surrendering is that you have a warrant for your arrest. You have to be taken into custody. And by freeing the police officers of the job of having to pick you up, we're demonstrating to the court that you are not a flight risk. It's hard for a prosecutor to argue that you're a flight risk if you self-surrender to the court. And then once we self-surrender you, we're able to negotiate a bond. Frequently, we'll negotiate that bond in advance of surrendering you. We'll negotiate a bond with a prosecuting attorney, which will be a reasonable amount that we can use to get you out of custody, perhaps even a recognizance bond. In any case, it's very important that you reach out to us right away.
Give us a call at 314-334-3807. And if you're looking for more information about the course of police investigations, click on the show notes below. Thanks again for listening, and tune back for more episodes soon.